Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
What's going on, Colts Nation? I'm Lawrence Owen, back with another edition of Believe in Colts. And in this episode, we are going to analyze and break down and grade each individual pick of the Indianapolis Colts 2024 NFL Draft. And wow, I'm just going to start this off by saying I was incredibly impressed. And I feel like this year, there are going to be guys that are going to be cut off of this roster when it comes down to the 53-man cuts that it's going to be very, very tough competition for the Indianapolis Colts and the coaching staff to make those decisions. And a lot of those guys that's going to get cut are going to end up being picked up off the waiver wire to other teams in the NFL. There is no doubt about it in my mind. Now, a lot of question marks, obviously, about specific spots on this roster that wasn't necessarily addressed. Not going to get into that too much in this episode. We're mostly going to focus on exactly what the Indianapolis Colts did in the draft specifically. But before we do, I've got to sit here and remind you that BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, NHL, playoffs, stats, boom. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, we're going to kick this off by going straight into probably my there is no probably. It is my favorite pick of this draft. So many Colts fans wanted a certain tight end, wanted a wide receiver, wanted a quarterback. No, very few out there thought that the Indianapolis Colts needed an edge pass rusher. It should have been quite evident when Chris Ballard tried to go get a certain Minnesota Viking pass rusher this past offseason, offered him more money than what the Houston Texans did, right, to bring him in, even though he decided to stay with Texans for other reasons. Fact of the matter is, it was quite obvious he still felt that having a premier edge rusher on this team was a very important thing. And what's he do? Holy crap. First off, thank you so much to the Atlanta Falcons, right? Thank you so much. Even though you went out and paid a bunch of money for a veteran quarterback, you used your first round pick to get a quarterback instead of picking up the best defensive edge rusher in this draft and allowing him to fall all the way to 15 so that the Indianapolis Colts can have Leatu Latu sitting right beside DeForest Buckner. Holy crap. All right, I think that this defensive line now is, it has the chance to be the best defensive line in football as it sits right now. I mean, talk about just starting quality value plus depth. This is an amazing defensive line the Indianapolis Colts have. They're going to, like I said earlier, there's going to be some guys that's going to be cut off this defensive line this year that is will hit the waiver wires and be picked up by another team and get probably quality snaps on that team during the 2024 season. Leatu Latu is a stud, okay? So the only question mark that anyone had about Latu wasn't about his personality or anything. Dude is like zoned in focused on just being a better pass rusher, okay? The 2 years he was out of college, right, while he was trying to get back after his neck surgery, all he did was sit there and watch YouTube videos, of other pass rushers and trying to mimic them, put them in his arsenal. So when he come back to play for UCLA, he had a swath of pass rush moves and counter moves. And it showed in his last two seasons on tape at UCLA. Dude is a beast. I feel like he's an absolute premier at edge rusher. okay? He's one of the best out there. I think he has a chance to be a top five edge rusher in the league. And that's only going to make the rest of the defensive line on the Colts that much better. You talk about, well, this doesn't really help the pass defense. Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. All right. Yes, I understand that quarterbacks today throw the ball a little bit quicker. But one of the worst things the Colts had was giving up deep shots down the field last year. Okay. This is a guy who absolutely is, he has the best true pass rush win rate in college over the last 10 years over guys like Myles Garrett, Bosa, TJ Watt, you know, all these guys. He had a better true pass rush win rate over all of them. Okay. That says a lot to me. That says an absolute lot. That means he is going to make sure that quarterbacks aren't going to have time. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to help make sure the quarterback's not going to have time to sit back there 2-3 seconds, you know, 4-5 seconds, you know, and launch a ball 30-40 yards downfield, hit us behind our pass coverage. Latu was a heck of a pick, and I give it an A+, especially for the value that they got him at that spot. Next on my list, I mean, come on, Adonai Mitchell, all right? There's a couple things that concern me about A.D. Mitchell, and I'll get to that in a second. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'll go ahead and get those out of the way right off the bat, all right? First thing, as I mentioned in my preview for the wide receivers, look, I had Mitchell as a late first-round pick. I was hoping like heck he'd fall. To mid-second round where the Colts might get him. I figured it'd be an absolute steal. Ta-da, it was. All right. The reasons, in my opinion, all right, two things that I don't like about that I think that he could, one of them he can absolutely improve on. The other one is more him taking care of himself. I don't know that he has any kind of character issues. Obviously, you know, on the draft night, he looked pretty ticked off when the Colts picked him up. It wasn't because the Colts picked him up. It was because, you know, he fell so far. So many teams weren't going to give him the opportunity that he felt like he deserved because he has full confidence in himself, and he absolutely should. The problem I have is the fact that he does have diabetes, okay, which means he absolutely has to keep that in check because diabetes – for an athlete is a difficult thing to maintain, okay? Because it all has to do with your blood sugar. And when you're running out there consistently and you know, exerting yourself, that's going to fluctuate your blood sugar a lot. You're going to have to go out there and take care of yourself. That's something I feel like he could absolutely do that. It's just extra work on his side, you know, in preparation. That's all. The other thing that I'm a little worried about A.D. Mitchell is the fact that when I watch his tape, he just does not put any effort in run blocking, okay? Now, on the Indianapolis Colts, run blocking is something that every wide receiver has to do, you know? And we got two of the best run blocking wide receivers in the NFL in Michael Pittman Jr. and Alec Pierce. Every Colt fan knows that. Reggie Wayne focuses on run blocking as well with his wide receivers. So between those three guys, I have a feeling that A.D. Mitchell will absolutely put more effort into it and focus more on trying to make sure that that part of his game is up to par. Outside of that, though, holy crap, dude. He's a 4'3 guy, right? Over 6'1. Got really decent route running. Amazing hands. Great body control. The ability to get off the line in man press and it not affect his route, like the ability to swat off man press and continuous route is amazing. I love his ability to change speeds, go from first gear to fifth gear like that. That right there is something that I feel like Adonai Mitchell could use in his arsenal to be able to get open. And he did it a lot in college to get open at the top of his routes. You know, get the cornerback sleeping on his speed, you kick that last gear in, and then you just go and spread away. The only problem with that is the quarterback throwing to you, he's got to know, you got to be on the same mental aspect of that. And he's got to be able to, when he throws the football to him, he's got to know the AD, is adding on that little extra burst at the end. Otherwise, you're underthrowing the football. And that's why there was that's the reason why there was a lot of underthrown footballs to him, right? If the ball, there was so many underthrown footballs that the separation between him and the corner, he'd have the corner beat 3, 4, 5 yards. And the ball would be underthrown. And then by the time the ball got there, the corner would be right there to get him. And that's why he didn't have a lot of yards after catch. But if you got a quarterback that is on the same page as him, then he knows to put that little touch extra on there because AD can go get it. Then we got something going. All right. That's my thought process on that one right there. AD Mitchell, giving him an A+. Those two the first and second round picks, A+ picks out of value and, in my opinion, need on the team. Put them together, when talent meets need, bam. All right. Third pick, Matt Calves. I have a hard time pronouncing that last name. I'm sorry. It just don't roll off my tongue very well. The tackle out of Pittsburgh. 6'6", 327-pound tackle. Are you kidding me? A 327-pound offensive tackle. The problem, I'm gonna start off with the problems I have with him. His arm length, okay? As a tackle, 33 1/4 inch arms, kind of small. That's not going to help when it comes to edge speed rushers, okay? You need that long arms to help kind of push a guy, ride him out. That's an issue. All right, he's coming off a season-ending foot injury, but from what I understand, the medicals on that's good. He'll be ready to go when it's time to go. He's powerful. All right, here's the funny thing about him: for a tackle, he's very powerful. Okay, very powerful. Strong hands, sustains blocks, can ride a defender to the ground. He's more against power edge rushers than better against power edge rushers than he is against speed edge rushers. Okay. And he will block downfield in space. He's good at that. And he comes off the line in the run game with a lot of power and a lot of hand. He attacks defenders when it comes to man blocking or zone rather than waiting on them. Really like this pick. I think he's not somebody that's going to step in and be a starter right away, though, because, he's got some work with his ability to protect the full, curvature of the outside against speed edge rushers. But I think he's still going to be a very good guy, someone that I like. Little different than what Chris Ballard grabs as a tackle. Because, Ballard likes the tall, long-armed guys as tackles historically. And this is just a little bit different than what he's used to grabbing. So we'll see how he works out, right? Absolutely. The next pick on here, Tanner Bordellini. Whew, my goodness. Now, this is a dude. All right. Tanner Bordellini, where I was talking about where Matt is – the stocky tackle, not as good with the speed. It's kind of weird. He flipped it for a guard center. This dude, not quite as stocky, not quite as powerful, very fast, technically sound, could go out there and start today. He's better as a pass blocker than he is a run blocker. He's got really good speed to be able to pull when he needs to. He's very smart. Like I said, he could play center or guard. And as a center, he loves playing center. He loves being the quarterback of the offensive line, setting up blocks, making sure everyone's in the right position. He loves putting that pressure on his own shoulders. So I really do like the Tanner Bordellini pick. We're going to go back to Matt so I can go ahead and drop that grade on him. I'm going to give that a C plus because, you know, lower end on a tackle, I would rather have a good pass rusher, especially someone that can handle speed. But we'll see how he ends up turning out. Tanner Bordellini, again, flip-flop here, you know. He's more, you know, athletic and less strong, and that's kind of flipped on what you generally would like to see with a guard slash center. But his intelligence, his hand usage, his technique is so good. I'll give this a B plus, all right, because power can be made up. You know, when I say made up, I mean you can make that up in off-season workouts and stuff and get yourself stronger, okay? Speed is a little tougher to accomplish. Now, with that being said, the next guy I have on my list is Oregon State wide receiver Anthony Gould, who was picked in the fifth round, 142nd overall. Burner. Can you just say burner? All right. Obviously, the Indianapolis Colts selected Anthony due to the new kick return policy that's going on right now. And dude had two punt returns for touchdowns last year. All right. Absolute speedster. And I'm not taking away from the fact that he's a wide receiver as well. Okay. Not only can he return punts and kicks, but he had some production, like 1,300 yards receiving over there, right, at Oregon State. So he's not really tall. He's not somebody that, you know, he's not an outside guy. He would be a slot guy if he came in. But still, you know, somebody that I feel like could be someone that could come in to relieve our starting slot guy if he ever gets tired or something of that nature. Or if he ever gets hurt, you know, God forbid, knock on wood. All right. But he absolutely is. I don't know if I like Gould at 142nd, fifth round. Look, I'm going to say right now, from fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, these are guys that you generally grab for specialty areas, hoping that you're picking traits, right, that fit specific needs of your team and hope that they can build on those traits and fill a specific role. Gould is that guy to a T. I'll give this one a B plus as well. Next guy on my list, another fifth round pick, just nine picks later, Jalen Carlisle. Wow. Jalen Carlisle's, talk about, you know, that body type, that traditional body type that Chris Ballard loves. That's him. He scored an 8.26 out of 10 on the RAS. He's 6'3", 227-pound guy. Linebacker, all right? Played safety. He's going to come in as a linebacker. He's got those long arms. Kind of that EJ Speed, Darius Leonard-ish kind of guy, right? But obviously doesn't have a ton of experience playing linebacker. So this is more of someone they're going to bring in. And, you know, like I said, they're going to have to build him up, right? He's kind of a bit of a project. But so with EJ Speed, when he was selected, look where he's at now. Okay. I think this is a decent pick. I'm going to give it a C. I'm not going to give it a higher than a C, but I think this is a good pick for where he was selected. Next on my list, the last fifth round pick, Jalen Simpson. All right. Jalen Simpson is a hybrid defensive back. All right. He's got athleticism. He's got position flexibility. He could play anywhere on the field. Okay, Simpson can, which is what I like about him. All right, he could play nickel, he could play corner, you know, he could play just about anywhere in the defensive back room, which is good because we all remember, you know, we've had injury history last year and situations of that nature. We need somebody to come in and play whatever position. It's always good to have position flexibility. I think personally, he should be a free safety because, look, with his ability, he's great for defending explosive pass plays. And remember what I said about Leatu Latu? I think he will help limit those. This is a guy that can be an eraser for that, right? Someone that can see where the ball is going, go to where the ball is thrown to rather than chase down somebody and eliminate explosive pass plays. I think this is a guy, in my personal opinion, that should get looks at free safety immediately if a veteran, as a starting free safety, immediately if a veteran's not picked up before training camp. That's my thought process. Could that position have been picked up a little earlier? Quite possible. But we'll see where that rolls into. Next on my list, I'm going to give that a C plus, B minus, somewhere around in that general vicinity for Jalen Simpson. Micah Abraham, the sixth round pick out of Marshall. All right. This is possibly the most confusing pick I have ever seen Chris Ballard make. You think Chris Ballard, and you're, and like I said, fifth, sixth, seventh round, as I said, you're looking for athleticism and length and things of that nature, you know, the RAS scores, get right, his athletic score. Abraham had one of the worst athletic scores in, like, ever, right? 3.70. This might be the worst athletic score that Ballard has ever taken. He does have 4.4 speed, though, right? It's just his ability to move and stuff of that nature. What gets me is even though he's not necessarily athletic, dude had production. He had like 12 or 13 interceptions, right? A crap ton of batted balls and broken, you know, pass plays, things of that. Dude was just flat out productive. And when you see that kind of production on the field, he's got to be doing something right. That means that his football brain and his ability to break down plays while it goes works. And you can't turn that away. And Ballard didn't turn that away. I'm actually going to give this one a C, right? Because it's confusing on the pick, but you can't argue with the production. You just can't argue with Abraham's production at all. Moving on, last guy, Jonah Lalu, the defensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Well, we go right back to that whole, you know, Chris Ballard and his whole situation that he loves, right? With RAS scores and things of that nature, right? Dude was, he's got impressive athletic traits as a defensive tackle, okay? He's 6'5", about 290, all right? Kind of a little bit, you know, DeForest Buckner-ish, not quite as tall, right? But about that right size, you know? Incredibly athletic, not overly strong. This is a three tech kind of guy, not a nose tackle one tech. Okay. The Colts already signed a nose tackle in free agency to back up Grover Stewart. I think this is a guy that's going to come in and try to help out. It's all about, you know, it's a seventh round pick, guys. It's a seventh round pick. I'm going to give this a C minus because he's got a lot of work to do still. Because he does not read lateral blocks, right? Blocks coming from the sides, and he can get blown up at the line of scrimmage. He's not really good with his hand usage, things of that nature, and can stall when he has a problem getting off of blocks, even though he's very fast. If he wins off the snap, he's explosive and get to the quarterback or the running back or wherever. But once an offensive lineman gets his hands on him, especially a guard or a center, Now, these are things that he can work on. Again, project guy. I'm going to give this a D+, C-. In that specific aspect. Hey, guys, I appreciate each and every one of you that's been watching this. My breakdown of the Indianapolis Colts 2024 NFL draft class. If you like it, please smash that like button. Hit subscribe if you're not subscribed. Tag that notification bell so that you're notified next time I go live or upload a video. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. And if you're listening to this on an audio podcast, make sure you please go ahead and rate it. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. And until next time, I'm Lawrence Owen. This was Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts. I give the overall grade A-. Good job, Ballard.
Do you believe? Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.